The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to Jewish Singles Radio. I am your host, Valerie Zaslow, along with Diana Pivenstein.
Hi, everybody.
Jewish Singles Radio was created to bring Jewish men and women together to build an engaging, like-minded community where we can connect and have authentic, meaningful conversations about dating after 40. If you are divorced, widowed, a single parent, or maybe you have never even been married, we hope that you will not only meet new people through the age-old art of conversation, but that you will also learn a lot.
So join us every week. We're going to be talking to dating coaches, health and wellness experts, matchmakers, religious leaders, educators, and other singles. We know that managing modern dating and navigating the single life is not easy, so we want to help you through that process. Our goal is to provide you with lots of valuable information and have a lot of fun along the way.
So if you're Jewish and single, or single and looking to meet someone Jewish, let's talk about it. Every Wednesday night from 7 to 8, right here on WWDB AM 860 or WPEN 97.5 HD2. And you can hear us wherever you get your local podcast. So today we are talking about matchmaking, what it takes to be a matchmaker, and what you should know about working with a matchmaker. Maybe there are, you know, some questions that you have about hiring a matchmaker, but you've been somewhat uncertain about whether hiring someone unfamiliar who you have no history with can potentially introduce you to the right person or a like-minded partner. So, Diana, have you ever worked with a matchmaker?
I never have, but I think that I can see the potential in working with one after being single for so long and not liking this whole online dating and not liking meeting strangers. I can see the benefit, I guess, of meeting a matchmaker and having them possibly vet everybody and screen people for you if your friends don't have anybody that they can set you up with. I mean, I see the benefits of it. I myself have never tried one or used one, but, you know, maybe that'll change.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully this will not only enlighten you, but everybody else who's listening about what it's like to work with a matchmaker. And I guess I could say maybe a behind the scenes look at really what the experience is all about. And our guest today is not only a widely respected professional matchmaker calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. She is a self-love junkie and passionate about helping singles improve their dating experience and works one-on-one with singles to curate date strategies and manifest love and relationships. Her name is Paris Lowry. And Paris, I'm going to tell a little bit about your background before we say hello, but she met her boyfriend in 2019 on a dating app, and they launched a website, or her boyfriend launched a website that's called realblacklove.com, which today has more than 500,000 members. Paris and her boyfriend Joseph Dixon are going to be featured on a new Bravo TV reality series called Love Match Atlanta, which debuts on May 8th at 10 o'clock p.m. And the show follows the careers and competition and conflicts of five of Atlanta's most sought-after matchmakers who are all working to help high-profile singles find love while balancing the competitive hustle of their job and their personal priorities. You know, according to an online publication that I found, which is also an internet media company called Distractify, Paris and Joseph have a matchmaking success rate of 75%. And their high profile clients include celebrities and professional athletes. So congratulations on your new reality TV show, Paris. It's very exciting. And welcome to Jewish Singles Radio.
Thank you so much for that awesome introduction. I am glad to be here. I'm excited. We should definitely jump right in.
Okay, well, we are also excited, and I just want to start off by saying we're going to talk about Love Match Atlanta a little bit later on in the program, but first, tell us a little bit about your background and how you began helping people find love.
Gotcha. Really, a lot of my background was in sales and marketing prior to matchmaking, and I really worked in corporate America, so I did a lot of like spin sales training. I did a lot of account management as well, where I worked one-on-one with clients, and that really translated into matchmaking as far as having great active listening skills, uncovering what people's pain points were and obstacles they were needing to overcome, and also had a little digital marketing and design background as well. So very creative and also good with technology as well. So that's kind of what branched me over. I had so many like soft skills, and when I met my boyfriend Joseph, the founder of RBL, or Real Black Love Matchmaking Agency, he was just like, you should work for me. Like, you have all of these great skills and talents. I need help in these areas. So we actually relaunched his matchmaking agency. He took a break because he was working on a dating app. And then when I came on board, I kind of used all of these corporate America experience skills that I had to really professionalize the matchmaking process and really coming up with like a method to matchmaking, a strategy, so to speak, that we could duplicate over and over and yield high success.
Well, I'm curious to know what you tell someone who comes to you and says, I have a great job, I make plenty of money, I have nice friends, but I'm not happy and I'm looking for a partner to bring me happiness in my life. I mean, do you find that singles who are coming to you are open and honest about what their situation is?
Ah, that's the key word, honest. Actually, really what most of my job is filtering through, trying to figure out what they're saying, what they're not saying, who they really are. I think a lot of people think that they're being honest and transparent, but when we start to ask a lot of questions, we uncover, okay, this is the real problem. This is the root problem why you're single. And a lot of times it's not just one thing. It could be multiple things. And it's not necessarily a flaw, though we do run across people who do have character flaws, but it can be you don't make time for dating, don't make it a priority. It could be they're not in the right circle. Maybe they're not healed from a past relationship. So it's a lot of different things that we're assessing. We're assessing their matchability. So a lot of people will come to us, but it is our job to figure out, can I help this person? Is this person matchable? Are they date ready? And do I have the type of singles that they would actually be compatible with? And then also you got to understand what state in the dating process that people are at. Some people are looking for a long-term relationship. Some people are looking for marriage. Some people are looking for companionship and entertainment. And those are different. They're all different. So we have to figure out what is their motivation for coming to us. And if they're just looking for a good time and with compatible people, or they're actually trying to get married and start a family, because everyone's objective in dating is different.
Of course. And I guess that's what not only makes it a little complicated, but a little interesting, right? So how do you advise people who want to spend their time obsessing about the what if? What if I don't find love? What if the one who got away was really the one?
Right. So really, we cannot focus on the things that we cannot control and we do not know. So what I focus on is empowering my singles with understanding that you're never going to get close to finding someone if you don't actually start making connections and dating. And that's something that you can control. You cannot control if the person that you fell in love with got away or they passed away or whatever unfortunate circumstances. But you're going to definitely be alone if you do not do something. You know, faith without works is dead. You have to do something if you want to have a companion. So I really try to encourage them and inspire them and support them along the journey. Like, you're not doing this alone. I'm like your personal girlfriend, your best friend, your motivator, your day coach, to kind of, you know, kind of like think about the fitness training aspect of it. That's what I'm doing for your personal life. You actually get to outsource your personal life, which is great. Like, you don't have to worry about showing up on dates with quality people that you like and that like you back. So that's something unique about our matchmaking. When you go on a date, we already have vetted this person to make sure they know what you look like, they know what you're about, and they like you back. So a lot of the stress and the worrying is over. All you have to do is have a connection with that person because they're already into you before you even sit down and have a date with them. So we can kind of jump into like terms and pricing or whatever questions that you have, but our strategy is really, really solid just because we make sure to vet so well that all you got to do is have that initial chemistry and keep dating each other and see if you can be in a relationship with them.
So Paris, that was one of my questions to you. Like, what can you explain a little bit about your vetting process for, you know, for both people? Well, when they come in, like, do you have a pool of people that you, you know, like, have if someone new comes in, or like, how does it work?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about.
Yeah, like, where do the people come from? Like, where do you find these singles that are vetted to meet somebody that wants to really settle down and have a relationship?
Okay, well, we get our, we call them prospects or matches. We get them a lot of different places. One, we have a huge database on our app, so we could actually dive into that pool and reach out to singles, which I've reached out to a lot of singles. They probably heard my voice before and like, yeah, Paris has called me. So I'll call them and see if they're interested in private matchmaking, and then I will convert them over to my dating pool. Also, we do a lot of social media marketing as well, Clubhouse, Facebook, Instagram. So we'll host different sessions and then have different links and different ways for people to join our private database along with our website. And then we'll do local recruiting as well. Well, we'll do different events and we'll get people signed up. I have a strong referral process as well. So people who have gone on dates with my clients, people who are actual clients, I constantly have people referring friends and family in. And then we also have a referral system through other matchmakers. So that's just some of the tools we use. We use LinkedIn. We have so many different places that we gather prospects and leads, and we control our entire dating pool. And then we basically see, you know, what your preferences are in a partner, run that in a system that we have, and it will tell us basically, you know, what your compatibility is, what your similarity are, gives us like a score, and then we'll kind of weed out and figure out, okay, based off of these people scoring high on your preferences and your compatibility, hobbies, interests, and then we actually overlay like a human element to that. So we're not just going based off of the algorithm or computer system. We're also calling them and trying to make sure that the person that we have data on, their hobbies, their interests, their likes, their personality, their dating behavior actually matches up to who we think they are on paper, right? So a couple different steps in the vetting process, using our discernment to figure out, do we think this person will like this person? We also make sure that they see them as well. Are you attracted to this person? Do you think that they look good? Could you see yourself dating them? So we have those questions so you don't actually end up on a date with someone who's not attracted to you.
I think it's interesting.
So hopefully that gave a detail.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned that you also work with other matchmakers, because I think that's typically not something that, you know, you would normally think that, you know, matchmakers are working together. But obviously it makes sense, right? I mean, if you have somebody who you may not have a fit for, but you know another matchmaker who might, I mean, why not pass them along? So, I mean, I can completely understand that. But do you find that some people have super high or unrealistic expectations about the types of people that they're going to meet through a matchmaker?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think almost every matchmaker would tell you the same thing. We have people that have a loose expectation. But surprisingly, I mean, I'm pretty good at what I do. I've been able to actually find needle in the haystack. You know, I've had some people that are very gung-ho. It's like, I need her to be, you know, below 5'2", 115 pounds with no kids and a college degree and wants to get married. That's in the gym 5 days a week and has a plant-based diet. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to try to find this person for you. And I felt totally defeated. And then just kept looking and actually found her. You know what I'm saying? So it is difficult, you know, that's what makes you a great matchmaker, the fact that you persevere and you don't give up. And I go through the process with my clients. Like, if the person isn't there, the person isn't there. You know, we also look at statistics. Well, how many women in the U.S. are this size, that are this height, you know, with a college degree, that's single? So we actually break it down for some of my clients. Like, you want a very, very small part of the single dating pool in the U.S. that doesn't exist. So I mean, sometimes it's a miracle that I find anybody that meets your criteria. So if you have a criteria of a person who doesn't exist, then we've got to go back to the drawing board to see what is the thing that's impacting your criteria the most, that's limiting it. And is that a valid thing that you actually really need? Like, do they 100%, you know, have to be this exact height? Do they have to have a chiseled face? You know what I'm saying? Could they, is there another type of attraction you're attracted to? Do they have to have this hair color? Do they have to have this profession? Do they have to have these amount of degrees? You know, I dive down into the psyche of some of my clients. Like, how did we formulate this preference of this is what is going to make me happy? And are we able to step outside of that to actually see, could I be actually happy with someone who doesn't have this, but maybe they have some different intangible things or character traits that would actually make me happier? So it is a process going through with some clients, because you can't just tell them, oh, you have a loose expectation, or, you know, that woman's not out there, or that man is not out there, and he won't be interested in you. Because the truth of the matter is, your matchmaker doesn't know. You know, there's 300 million people in the U.S. I don't know 300 million people. I know a lot of people, and I can find people, but mm-hmm. It has to be within reason. And that's what I work them through, within reason.
So how much hand-holding do you think, Paris, how much hand-holding is really necessary mm-hmm. when people are nervous or maybe a bit timid when it comes to meeting someone new and for the first time, and especially through a matchmaker who they really are just developing a relationship with?
I'm a big hand holder just in general. I've been accused of being too customer centric focused, too customer oriented. So I hold hands because I know how hard it really is. So, I mean, I have clients that call me at like 11 o'clock at night, and I have, you know what I'm saying, that was just, you know, kind of go on a rant. I'm like, oh, this, I'm sad about this, whatever. So I have to encourage, especially the first month, normally the first month or two, it is a lot of hand-holding. It's a lot of conversations, a lot of meeting, it's a lot of re-encouragement. And I do outsource some date coaching because I do realize that a lot of that fear just comes from insecurity and a lack of knowledge. So I will outsource to therapists because sometimes our clients, they need a therapist, like an actual clinical counselor. They may need an actual, like a date coach that can be on call 24/7. Like, I'll take some calls, but if it's assessive, then I have a team of people that I can outsource to for some deeper trainings and some deeper, you know, just kind of get it pumping in them, whatever right. they're lacking.
So, but you're in the business of obviously, you know, orchestrating not only good matches, but let me say good first dates. So what advice do you share with your clients about making a first impression? I mean, and what they should do on a first date?
Well, number one, show up on time. That's number one. I'm just being honest. You'd be surprised how many people don't. Show up on time. Two, look like your picture. Whatever picture that they saw of you, do not come looking completely different. If your hair is straight in the picture they saw you, keep your hair straight. If it's curly, keep it curly. Look like your picture, because no one likes to feel like, you know, I got bamboozled. On the first date. And a lot of times you see a lot of people are doing these filters, they're using pictures from 15 years ago. No, whatever picture that they saw to meet you, if they met you online, please look like that. Or if they saw you out, say, you know, you met a guy, I don't know, at a family event, cookout, friend's house, and you go on a date, and however you look, of course you can look nicer, but don't digress. You know, look like mm-hmm. the person that they saw the first time. And a lot of times I see that. It's weird. It's like, I'd be like, who is this person who went on this date? You did, because I make my clients like FaceTime me or send me a picture of what they're wearing before they go out on this date, because you would be surprised what people try to put on for the
date.
Oh,
we wouldn't be surprised. We hear it all, right, Diana?
Right. I can only imagine. Paris, I wanted to ask you, so when you match people, like, do you do it multiple people, like, over a certain time frame, or, like, how does that work? Like, do they see the same person a few times and then you match them with someone else, or are they seeing multiple people, like, dating at the same time until they find someone they like?
Gotcha. So every matchmaker does it a little different.
Right.
Basically, how we work, we're not about quantity, we're about quality, right? So we do have some overlap where the max that I'm having a client date is two people at one time, right? And that's because they like two people. But if they don't like that person, they go out on one date, they don't go out, they go on two dates, we're exiting them, because we don't want you to waste someone else's time. We don't want you to waste their time. Like, this juggling act, I'm not a fan of, like, serial dating just to be dating. Like, if you don't know, you don't have your mind made up. But if you immediately know, then it's on to the next person. So typically you'll see one to two dates a month, typically. But every client is different if it's not working out. But our goal is for them to date that one person that they find over and over again. So they could, you know, a lot of times I'll introduce people and then, you know, before a week, they've gone out two more times. So I don't count those as, like, dates. You know, I would count those as matches. Each person is a different match or a different introduction. So the less introductions it takes for you to actually date someone consistently and get in a relationship, the better it is, in my opinion, as a matchmaker, because you kind of seal the deal. You got a great match and these two like each other.
I mean, I know you mentioned about appearance and, you know, look like your picture. But do you see many people who lie about their age or say something like, I'm in my 50s, but everyone says they're shocked because I look like I'm in my 30s? I mean, I think that's another big thing, that people just have the wrong impression from a photo.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to really lie to us. Well, our particular matchmaking agency, because we background check everyone and we double check everyone and we FaceTime everyone. So I'm almost like the attorney. I tell people when I talk to them, don't lie to me, be transparent, because I'm probably going to find it out anyway. Because part of my job is it's part a private investigator, because we're looking at, you know, if you say you went to school here, I'm probably going to look it up. If you say you do this position, I'm probably going to go on your company website, because I'm trying my best to make sure that the person that I present to my client is that person. So, I mean, it's no point of actually lying to us, though people do try, you know, to shave a couple years off or shave height off. I'm inspecting that very heavily, because this industry, people pay a lot of money. So I have to make sure I do my due diligence and make sure that these people are who they say they are. But yes, people do that. But most of the time they understand when they're talking to me, like, you're going to have to be legit with me. Otherwise, you will get booted. Yeah.
Paris, so, like, if you find someone, two people, and they start dating, like, how long are you involved in the process? Like, how many dates do they go on until that's it? They're like a happy couple and you're not involved?
Typically about 3 or 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Much longer than I would have thought.
Yeah, me too. I thought like 3 or 4 dates.
No, like 3 or 4 months. No, I have a really great relationship with my clients. I feel like they're almost like extended family. I get very invested in their love life. So that's when I'm on call for emergencies. They know not to call for, like, you know, he wouldn't put the toilet seat down, you know. Don't call me for that. You know, if the relationship is getting ready to end, that's because I'm trying to protect that match, right? You know, because if every relationship that ends, that means I got to go back working. I am invested in these two people working. So if it gets to the point that there's a dispute or someone has gotten disconnected, I'm that person that's like a liaison. Hey, you know, hey, Mark, I know you went on a date with, you know, Karen. How did everything go? I know you've been dating for a while. Is everything good? And then they'll just tell me this, that, and the third. And then if it's not a fit anymore, then I can really, you know, relay that message in a nice way to both parties. That's what I'm here for. I break up with people all the time. I have to say, hey,
oh my God.
I know the great, you know, you, you guys went on a great date. I spoke with, you know, my client. You know, she thinks you're wonderful. But, you know, just don't see this, you know, being something long term. Boom. I would love to hook you up with someone else. And they're like super excited. So I give bad news, but I give good news as well. So a lot of times I find people that maybe don't work out with my client and they eventually become my client. So every date that doesn't work out is just another person in my dating pool and another prospect for me. So we got a really great system.
I mean, clearly you've, you know, emphasized what a strong relationship that you have with your clients. And you obviously work with a lot of different people from all walks of life. But do you think that there are things that you that somebody who's working with a matchmaker shouldn't disclose to you?
Nope. I think they need to tell it. They need to tell me everything. I'm just being honest. They need to tell me everything. Everything that relates to relationships. I mean, I don't have to deep dive into stuff. Like, I've had people who have personal traumas, like, you know, as a child. And I'm like, okay, I need to know about this. You know, they're scared when they go on dates, you know, maybe have been sexually assaulted. I need to know about that. You know, I need to know how that impacts your dating. Weirdly enough, this is funny. I actually had a guy, you know, he had basically like, you know, sexual dysfunction. And he was saying that played a part in it. I'm just like, okay, I'm glad you told me this, right? Because I need to understand certain questions that we can gauge as far as, you know, like how, you know, how is the woman going to perceive this? What type of woman do you need to deal with? She needs to be patient. Like, we need to understand the depth of this, how this has impacted your dating, and then also, you know, figure out different questions and screens. Because I let my clients give me additional screening questions for them, because everybody is unique. I don't believe in this one size fit all matchmaking. I have my dating question screenings, and then if there's something specific that relates to that person finding the right match, I let them give me screening questions to ask the clients that I'm trying to put the prospects I'm trying to set them up with.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, Paris, I think that's awesome that you break up with people for them. I think that's an added feature to a matchmaker that I never even thought of, and maybe other people didn't think of either. And I guess the chances of getting like ghosted and all these other like dating trends probably would happen less with a matchmaker if you're involved.
No, you can't ghost me because you can ghost the client, but you can't ghost me. I will email you, call you, send you text messages. I'm trying to figure out what has been popping on your social media. They'll have to be like, I'm not interested. I'm going to hear something back. So, yeah, your ghosting when you work with most matchmakers is pretty much not going to happen. Just because it's that third party, right? So they may be scared to tell the person they're dating they're not interested, but you're the person that's like the friend, you know? So they normally will talk to us.
Well, right now we are going to pause for a short break. We are speaking with Paris Lowry, a matchmaker who is based in Atlanta, Georgia. Stay with us. You are listening to Jewish Singles Radio.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Serving my country required sacrifice, sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day. The day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Welcome back to Jewish Singles Radio. If you are just joining us, we are speaking with Paris Lowry. She is a professional matchmaker based in Atlanta, Georgia, and we are very excited to soon be speaking with her about her new reality TV series on Bravo called Love Match Atlanta, which debuts on May 8th. So before we get into that, Paris, I just have another quick question, and Diana may also, but I wanted to know, are there differences in how you work with a woman versus how you work with a man? And do you find that you're helping more women than men or more men than women?
I would actually say that I'm actually helping more women than men. As you can probably imagine, there's more women who kind of flock to want to get married than men. So we have a lot of women, especially in the ages over 40, that actually reach out to us. I do not see a lot of differences, to be honest with you, working with men or women, because everyone is unique. Like, I don't really blanket the entire gender. Like, this person does this or these people do that. Every person that we work with has their own unique set of challenges. I couldn't even say it's easier working with men or easier working with women. It's actually easier working with people who are coachable and open, and it's not gender specific at all.
I wanted to kind of move into a little bit about the new show. It's a Bravo reality series, Love Match Atlanta. So, you know, looking at the trailer, it says matchmakers keep their singles close and their competition closer. So I'd love to hear some details. I mean, are we going to see tough competitive nature that evolves between you and Joseph and the other matchmakers? Is that what the reality is about? Is it more based on just the fixing up of the singles?
Gotcha. Well, it seems like I think most of the matchmakers on the show think that they are the best matchmaker in the country.
Okay.
So you hear a lot of arrogance, and you hear a lot of, you know, just braggadocious talk, because a lot of people want to be the best matchmaker in Atlanta. So you're gonna see that going forth, back and forth between the matchmakers. You know, some people want to brag about, you know, their fame, or, you know, being a national name. You'll see that from one set of matchmakers there. Being in the industry for a long time. You know, I'm the youngest person on the show, probably one of the youngest people on Bravo. So, you know, the biggest thing on the show is that, you know, oh, you haven't been doing this that long. You know, some of them about 2 decades older than me. So it is a lot of people that try to elevate themselves over other people for whatever reason why. And to me, none of that really matters. What matters is your success, and it matters, you know, your results. You know, people that you're putting together, and your client advocates. So you will definitely see it going back and forth. There are a lot of people who are being put up on dates there. I think if there is a next season, you'll see more of the competition, like the grab for certain clients and the grab for their singles. But this is really just laying the groundwork for our personalities, our businesses, and our relationships outside of our businesses.
So it sounds like, Paris, you're this, like, young entrepreneur. Do you mind saying how old you are?
Ah, you're never supposed to ask that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I know.
Yeah, but this is just between us.
Yeah, it's between us, ladies. No, I just think that you have so much going for you, and you sound very young. So I don't know. I think it's amazing how far, you know, you've come with being a matchmaker to having a show on Bravo. And being on our show, of course.
So I think that it's an accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I get underestimated a lot. But a lot of what I've gone through is similar to what the other matchmakers have gone through as well. As you can see, our love lives are a little messy when you watch this reality show. You know, a lot of us have been married before. We have kids. We're on the second go around, and you have some matchmakers that have never been married, which that's a whole other story in itself, and you guys will have to watch how juicy that gets.
Yeah, but that's actually one of the things that I wanted to ask you before you move off of that subject, because a lot of these reality shows are scripted for drama. So, you know, I think everyone wants to know, I mean, is Love Match Atlanta real, or are you following a script?
It's 100% real. There, you can't make a script for what you guys are going to see. It is 100% real. Honestly, I think it's more than what anybody really wanted to show, but I think that the network has formulated a way to really craft the truth, and that's what I'll say. All the relationships are real, and all the anger that you see is real. Nothing is scripted.
Did you guys know each other, the cast, before the show, or no?
I knew no one because I was new into the industry. My partner and boyfriend, he knew of some of the people in the industry, and then one of the other matchmakers on the show, he's known her for about 10 years. But I'm meeting everyone for the first time because, like I said, I'm still new to the industry. But I'm like one of these prodigies out here.
So have you had any crossover clients with these other cast members in your career?
I haven't had crossover clients, but I have crossover prospects, if that makes any sense. So people that I've tried to recruit, they have had them in their database. So that gets a little tricky. Like, can I have your prospect you're not using, you know, or should I just take them, you know? So, you know, when you're in the same city, you're going to run across some of the same people. And that's how it is. We didn't necessarily try to go after anybody else's prospect, but just after networking, we find out who knows who, you know, already.
So I'm curious to know how the whole reality series came to be. Can you share that with us? Was it somebody that pitched the idea? Was it something that they came to you about?
Yeah, they found us. They found all of the matchmakers. Actually, they found them through social media, you know, interviewed us, and
maybe they think, you know, Atlanta's a good market, like, you know, the Housewives of Atlanta, which I know does particularly well.
Yes.
To be doing another reality show out of there. So another follow-up question is just, what's the most difficult thing that you've had to manage while filming the show? And do you guys all get along?
No, we do not all get along. That is why this is going to be a great reality TV show. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be full of drama, and you don't know what's going to happen. The biggest challenge for me, because I'm a mom, I actually have two kids from a previous marriage. I got married really young, so I can definitely show you how to get a ring. I got married at like 21. And I have a 12-year-old and I have an 8-year-old, right? So being a mom, trying to film, trying to run a business, it was so hard, especially during the middle of the pandemic. All of the COVID tests, it was ridiculous. Trying to virtual learn, virtual teach, it was really, really challenging. So trying to have a relationship, be on a TV show, manage a business, it was very, very hard.
Paris, you think that the pandemic, you know, how did that affect your matchmaking? Like, now are people like only hook me up with vaccinated people, or anything, things like that for, you know, to be matched? Is that like part of it now since the pandemic?
During the pandemic, that was always a question. All of my clients were vaccinated, so they didn't really have a preference as far as whether that person was vaccinated or unvaccinated. Everybody, well, not everyone, but, and plus they had already caught COVID and they kind of got over it. So they weren't really as I would say, cautious as they were at the beginning. So as we got more into the pandemic, the more people kind of just loosen their requirements on that. But we also have the opportunity to really do more virtual dating, which our clients liked as well, phone calls and virtual dating, until they got comfortable to actually meet them in person.
Yeah, it's probably one of the only good things that came out of the pandemic, that people got more used to being online and doing that virtual dating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm curious about is I think that people who are maybe interested in hiring a matchmaker, one of the initial thoughts that that comes to mind often is that it is expensive to work with a matchmaker. And actually, a lot of my friends have said, like, I just don't know if it's something that I can afford, or, you know, of course, any investment in yourself is a good investment. But, I've seen where matchmaking services can cost tens of thousands of dollars. So do you only work with clients that have deep pockets? And what do you charge for your services?
Yeah, our services range between $10,000 and $30,000, which to be celebrity matchmakers, we think that that's pretty affordable. We have longer terms as well. So, you know, some matchmakers will say, hey, I'll give you one match or two match. Our terms typically range between 12 and 6 months. So that's, and we're trying to work with you to give you someone that you're dating. You know what I'm saying? So we don't expect these popcorn relationships to just happen, because in the real world, yes, you find someone, you go on a date, you got to figure it out. It may not work. And if it doesn't work, we want an opportunity to match you again, right? So we have longer terms in place. So it's really important to figure out, you know, how is it structured? Are they charging me tens of thousands of dollars and that's only one person? What else is included? Because we don't just include just straight matchmaking. I do a lot of other things with my clients. I do makeovers, styling, hair, makeup, photography, their whole profiles, redo profiles for them.
It's the whole nine yards, right?
The whole nine yards. And that's why that price varies. And even with some, I'm like, you know, if you're trying to lose that weight and they're coming in like, hey, I want to be more competitive, I'm like, okay, well, I'll get you a personal trainer. We'll work with them and we'll kind of follow your process. We'll put you through date coaching. So I assess every person and say, hey, this is what I think I need. If I feel like I can work with you. If I don't feel like I can work with you altogether, I'm just like, I'm not even going to waste your time, and I don't want your money, because we don't want our success rate to go down on something we knew that we like, either the personality's not a right fit, our database, we don't have what you're looking for. I don't want to stress myself out trying to find something I don't think I can find for you, or work with a personality I don't think I can work with. So, you know, I work with people building their confidence, helping them learn to flirt, helping them to get comfortable talking to the opposite sex, so that, you know, when I do put them on a date, they can actually do something with it. Because I hate finding the perfect person for a client and they bombed it. They don't know any, you know, icebreaker questions. They don't, you know, they're nervous the entire time, or they're interrogating people, which I find that women do that a lot. Like, you know, how much money do you make? And mm-hmm. how long have you been there? Mm-hmm. And, you know, why should I date you? Like, I'm like, man, we got to unlearn some toxic dating behavior, so that when I get you a man, you can keep him. Mm-hmm. And that is a process. It is a process.
So how does somebody even know that they're ready to work with a matchmaker?
Well, there's a couple different, I would say, signs to say that you're ready for a match. Well, honestly, if you talk to a matchmaker, they'll probably tell you, you know, I don't think it's right for X, Y, and Z. But if you're experiencing dating fatigue, you know, because a lot of people think that matchmaking is just for people who can't get someone. We actually have clients that get too many people, and they're dealing with date fatigue and date overload. So they can't pick from the masses, so they want someone else to pick for them, right? So when we're looking at on the show, you'll see we have some celebrity clients. We have some clients that have gone viral. We have comedians we've worked with, actors that have shows on HBO. So it's not necessarily that they can't get someone. It's just they have too many options, right? And they need to figure out what's a good option for them. So if you're experiencing date fatigue, that's one thing. If you have limited time, I have one client who works for a huge tech company, and he literally doesn't have time to date. Like, he's like, I can carve out these times within my schedule and I don't want to waste them. I need quality people because my time is money. You know, I'm making $300,000 a year. I don't have time on my free time to waste on just a random person. So one, you don't have the time to just waste on people who don't meet your preferences. Your picker is off, or people who say, hey, that I'm looking for a different type of person and I don't know how to navigate different dating pools. I'm never in the room with a doctor, a lawyer, or a white collar professional, or anybody that remotely I'm interested in talking to. So we have people that are seeking certain people, you know, and I'm like, well, we've got to move in different settings, and I've got to see in my database what I have to match that. So you're looking for a different dating pool outside of your current social circle. That's one thing. I'm sorry. I know I went on a tangent.
No, no, it's perfectly fine. I actually have a quick question that I just wanted to know about, you know, what kind of training is necessary to be a matchmaker?
No training that's necessary to be a matchmaker.
It's just you feel it or you don't?
No, honestly, if you try to be a matchmaker and you don't have what you need to be a matchmaker, you're not going to be matchmaking very long. How about that? There are some industry standards of what is acceptable and what is, you know, recognized. The Matchmaking Institution in New York is the only accredited matchmaking institution. But there are other certifications. I think that's state accredited. There are other certifications that you can take in matchmaking and in date coaching. But it's not like a university is giving out a degree in matchmaking. Typically, you will see that a lot of matchmakers do have college degrees, like myself. I have a college degree, and a lot of other people as well. But typically, they've worked in industries as far as sales, marketing, and recruiting. And I've done all three, right? So those are like transferable skill sets to go into matchmaking. I particularly myself took a certification, online certification for matchmaking. And I also worked for a national matchmaking company for several months, and they had their own training, and that's how I became certified. So everyone has a different route that they go. Mm-hmm. The matchmaking, you have some people who are just third generation matchmakers. I see those all the time, third generation matchmakers. Like they learned from their mom, from their grandma, they inherited a book of business. And honestly, the real thing that you need to be a matchmaker is people skills, and you need a database. You need a database of singles. So mm-hmm. as long as you have a database of singles, you have decent discernment skills, active listening skills, and you can communicate well, you can be a matchmaker.
Sounds good. I probably think I could be a matchmaker, but I'm not.
You know, did.
I mean, I kind of feel like a lot of times I have, and Diana, I'm sure you feel the same. You always have friends that ask you to set them up. But, you know, no success stories here.
I've successfully matched a few people. They're still married and have kids.
Well, that's great. That's
but, yeah.
And I think you definitely need a good amount of instinct to do it too. You know, I don't think anybody could just be a matchmaker. I think that you definitely need to have some instincts and some common sense of how people, you know, socialize and see each other to some degree. Like, you've been doing this for how many years, Paris?
I've been doing this for 2.5 years.
So how many singles have you seen in this 2.5 years?
Or around about.
Or like,
yeah, like not exactly. I'm just curious, like how many singles like in 2 years have not like that have approached you like to match them?
Oh, trying to put a number on it. I would say probably at least like 75 a year. Yeah.
Wow.
75. I say 50 to 75. We have a lot of like people who inquire, different singles that inquire, but of course, you know, not everyone has the money.
Right.
You know? And then a lot of people inquire, like they don't understand matchmaking. They're trying to figure out how matchmaking works. So I would say about 50 to 75. I can't put an exact number on it because we get a lot of requests that come through our website. So that's how we, you know, we set up our consultations, because we do an inquiry call and then we do a consultation if we, you know, if this is something you think that you're more interested in, or we do a deep dive where I'm looking at your background, I'm looking at your dating patterns, I'm looking at your past relationships, all of that to kind of make sure that I'm a good fit for you. So we start off with inquiries and then we go into consultations.
So in terms of the way that you work, do you think that you have any pet peeves when it comes to introducing people?
Pet peeves.
Right. Things that you would definitely, that you, you know from experience. These are things that I shouldn't even get involved in, you know, when I'm trying to help somebody, or any specifics that, you know, make it either easier or harder, you know, that are things that you kind of do on a regular basis.
I would say my biggest pet peeves are people who are control freaks. If I get a control freak client that wants to, like, investigate the person that I'm trying to put them on a date with before they meet them. That's the biggest thing, because they want to Google the person. They want to formulate their idea about this person based off of social media. When I've done the work to talk to them multiple times, to screen them, to figure out, a lot of times they're like, who is this person? And they want to see, like, do I know them already? They're just, they don't want to just show up and have a great experience. I see this more with women. Like, they're trying to just make sure that this person is right for them. That's my job. Let the matchmaker do their job, you know. And I see people that they're trying to go on Instagram and find different pictures of them other than, you know, what we gave them, or trying to find different jobs and figure out people who they know. You know, I'm just like, trust my instinct. This person met your preferences. This person is in the same season in life that you're in. So when you try to be the match, like, don't pay me to be your matchmaker if you want to be your matchmaker. Just match yourself.
Right, that was like one of the things that I even wanted to, you know, so people, clients that are more particular, more demanding, I guess they're more difficult to match, right?
Yes, they are. So we try to get them to understand the process. And when it comes to love and relationships, you can't be demanding, because it's going to flow. You're working with different people's will. You're working with different personalities. And so you can't be as demanding as you want to be and get the results you want to, because that normally just runs people away, right? So we try to take down the intensity, the stress, the control. Like, you are outsourcing your dating experience. When you're dating for yourself, you're setting your own dates, you're being your own matchmakers, then that's when you're stressed. I take on the stress for you. That's why you pay me $10,000. That's why you pay me this money. Only thing that I want my clients to do is to show up, be sexy, have a great attitude, and enjoy a date that has been planned and crafted for you to enjoy. I don't want people to get overthinking in their mind. I don't want them to self-sabotage. All I want them to do is have a blank state, be optimistic about what could happen, and just take the time to learn someone that they would have never met any other time in life. And if I can get them to that state, then they can actually see that they don't have to create obstacles that aren't there. They don't have to get taken away by dating anxiety, which a lot of us have, especially when we're 40, especially when we've been divorced, especially when we've been single for a very long time. If we can get outside of ourselves and just be in that present moment, we can actually have an enjoyable experience. And what I try to do is get them to repeat that over and over and over again, so they can leave their past behind, really focus on getting to know someone in the present, and then make their decision about how they feel about the experience that they've had with someone else. It's really not that hard, right?
It doesn't seem like it's hard.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. I think it's probably easier said than done.
Right.
Can you tell our listeners where they can find you if they want to have a one-on-one or talk to you directly?
Yes. If you want to have a one-on-one and you want to do an inquiry call, want to learn more about matchmaking or set up a consultation, you can go to realblacklove.com. You can actually find me as well on Instagram at iParisDenise, or you can contact my partner, Joseph, at Joseph C. Dixon on Instagram as well.
Paris, we want to thank you so much for joining us. I know it seems like the time went by so quickly, and we both probably have a million more questions that we could ask you. So maybe once the reality show gets started, we could have both you and your boyfriend come back and talk to us again. So thank you so much for being a guest on Jewish Singles Radio.
Thank you.
And I want to make sure that everyone checks out Love Match Atlanta, premiering on Bravo on May 8th at 10 o'clock p.m. And you can also stream Love Match Atlanta on Peacock the day following its Bravo broadcast. And tune in every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 right here on WWDB 860 AM and WFAN 97.5 FM. If you miss the live broadcast, you can listen to the Jewish Singles Radio program on the WWDBAM.com streaming website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much, Paris. Great talking to you.